For the second week in a row, Jesus is predicting his passion, death, and resurrection to his disciples in the gospel. And for the second week in a row, they don't seem to understand. They would rather spend their time trying to determine who among them is the greatest. How ironic is it that the disciples are being selfish and prideful immediately after Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, just predicted his own humiliation and death on the cross for their salvation. Not much has changed in 2,000 years. Pride is still alive and well. We are still competing for who is the greatest among us, whether it be on social media, our personal appearances, through our material possessions, our place of employment, or even within our own families. Don't get me wrong, healthy competition can be a great thing and can bring out the best in us. But we must more than often, just like the disciples, can fall into that same deadly pride-filled trap, worrying about our own greatness. Don't we realize that all we have is from God? St. James tells us in today's second reading, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. Both jealousy and selfish ambition are rooted in the deadly sin of pride. People filled with pride think they are more important than others. They are focused primarily on themselves and often see others as their competition, or even worse, their enemies. Pride makes us tear down others in an attempt to build ourselves up. Our pride makes it difficult for us to encourage and lift up others because we are too busy building up ourselves. Satan uses pride to try to convince us we are completely independent and self-sufficient and don't need others. If left unchecked, pride will eventually try to convince us that we don't need God. When this happens, the devil has succeeded in his mission and has led us to hell. Because of our fallen nature, pride is a part of each and every one of our lives, just like it was a part of the lives of the early apostles. Jesus shares with us in today's gospel what it really means to be great, great in the kingdom of God. If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. Jesus is telling us that the way for us to defeat pride in our lives is through attaining the virtue of humility. Humility is the foundation of spiritual growth. Love is the most important of the virtues, but humility can be seen as the foundation needed for obtaining all the other virtues. If we are not humble, we cannot truly be holy. It is that simple. To be a successful disciple of Jesus Christ is to put God and others ahead of ourselves. Humility is the exact opposite of pride. Humility does not boast and is always seeking the good of others before our own good. St. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other." Humility is perhaps the most misunderstood virtue of our modern times. Our culture thinks that humility is synonymous with weakness. Nothing could be further from the truth. Being humble does not mean suppression of our personal attributes or constant self-degradation. To quote C.S. Lewis, "True humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less." A humble person knows his or her place in the world and takes that place. Humility allows a person to rule when they are called to be rulers, and to serve when they are called to be servants. But even during their most triumphant moments, the humble person remembers that all he or she is and all he or she has is from God. Humility always begins with an awareness of the infinite greatness and power of God. A humble person acknowledges their complete dependence on God for everything. We can only truly obtain humility when we submit to the fact that because God knows all things and is all good, we must obey him and accept his will, even when we don't fully understand. But while it's simple enough to know that we should be humble, it is not always so easy to practice. Three ways that might help us to cultivate the virtue of humility in our daily lives are prayer, obedience, and acceptance. Those sound like bad words. Our first way is to pray for humility. It is safe to say that no virtue is ever formed in our souls except by frequent prayer. If we truly desire to be humble and therefore to be holy, pray every day for this grace, asking God to help us overcome our deep love of self. The second way is through obedience. Saint Benedict tells us the first degree of humility is prompt obedience. One of the clearest examples of pride in our lives is disobedience. Ironically, disobedience and rebellion are often hailed as virtues in our Western society. Satan fell because of his pride. He said, "I will not serve God." On the other hand, humility is always manifested by obedience to the legitimate authorities in our lives, whether it be our parents, our employers, the church, or civil authorities, so long as they are morally upright. Lastly, we must accept humiliation. Perhaps the most painful, but also the most effective way to learn humility is by accepting humiliating and embarrassing circumstances. There is a great reason so few of us are humble. None of us like to be humiliated or embarrassed. Many ask God to make them humble and fervently pray for this, but very few accept humiliation. Yet it is impossible to gain humility without accepting humiliations. For just as studying is a way to acquire knowledge, so it is by the way of humiliation that we attain humility. Think of our Lord on the cross and follow him. As long as we only desire the virtue of humility, but are not willing to accept the means of achieving it, the cross, we will never truly be humble. Jesus is challenging all of us who want to be his disciples. We must become humble in every aspect of our lives. Prayer, obedience, and acceptance of humiliation are all things that will help lead us to humility. But it will not be easy. As we prepare our hearts and minds to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, let us pray for the virtue of humility and for a servant's heart, so that we might become great in God's kingdom by humbly serving Christ and those in our community who are most in need of our love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.